present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that's guaranteed to bring the hearse down. You join us today in the fine city of Birmingham. The town's industrial origins go back to the 14th century, when peasants, finding iron ore and coal deposits, started to experiment to produce hot smelting fires and to fashion basic farm tools. It was only after decades of failure they realized that iron doesn't burn and lumps of coal make lousy shovels. But they persevered, and eventually Birmingham expanded with the Industrial Revolution. Still little larger than a village in the 1790s, the population had grown by 1850 to nearly a quarter of a million, thanks to the success of high-quality manufacturing and the failure of low-quality contraception. With the growth in production came a canal system so extensive that Birmingham is often described as the Venice of the North. History relates that when Canaletto was commissioned to paint the Renaissance splendor of the Grand Canal of Venice, he climbed from the Piazza San Marco onto the Bridge of Sighs and, admiring the Doge's palace, remarked, "Bloody hell, it looks just like Birmingham." We are today guests at Birmingham's Alexandra Theatre, where the newly refurbished stage accommodates lavish musical productions and attracts top shows from the West End. But the Alex enjoys a broad repertoire and doesn't only present big names guaranteeing box office success. Not by a long chalk. Let's meet the teams. They are, on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And a warm welcome, please, for our lovely scorer, the delightful Samantha. Okay, as the internet continues to grow, websites become ever more useful. In fact, websites and email have assumed such a prominence as the means to disseminate and share today's popular culture that very soon we won't need walls in public toilets at all. Okay. Teams, I've commissioned a special internet literate game called Spot the Website, in which I'll ask you to share some of your favorite website and email addresses, past and present. And Tim, will you start, please?
O.J. Simpson. O.J. .. Escape.
Titanic at iceberg. ..
Bert at BBC to F-long stop.
EastEnders at ..
The Prostate Society. Desperate at WC4A/. Oh, and another slash.
Guardian. Slot, dip, backward slash.
Clinton at it, oh, don't stop.
Robert the Bruce at website.
Oh, yes, he did.
Prince Charles. Charles at 50, Queen stop, no chance stop.
Trevor McDonald at news.at.10.bong.
MFI at unbeatable price / bracket missing, return no chance.
Okay, the teams are going to sing for us now. The game, The game is called One Song to the Tune of Another. A concept of such glaring simplicity, it takes but a second to explain. Each player has in front of him a song sheet from which the music has been removed. This can be done by obscuring it with a felt-tip pen, but in fact we use Tippex. I say Tippex, but any good quality correction fluid will do. There are several reputable brands available at most office equipment shops and high street stationers. Although by the term high street, we really mean any retail site marketing fast-moving consumer goods. If they're out of stock and can't suggest an alternative local supplier, ask them to give you a mail order address. We, in fact, get ours from the fourth floor stationery cupboard. I say fourth floor, but every floor has one, except the eighth, of course, because that's where the canteen is. Now, teams, at this point, I know what you must be thinking. You must be thinking, where does the canteen manager get her Tippex from? Well, she doesn't need Tippex because her staff don't play one song to the tune of another. So, there you have it. The tunes to go with your song lyrics will be played at the piano by Colin Sell. Listeners may be interested to learn that Colin constantly receives notes from avid pop fans. Here's one. Two extra bottles of Tizer, but no Vimto. Jim, we'll start with you. Will you please sing the words of Where Did You Get That Hat to the tune of Aled Jones's lovely Walking in the Air song? Now, Jeremy, will you please sing the words of Great Balls of Fire to the tune of My Favorite Things?
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Lovers, I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind. This love is fine. Kiss me, baby. I'm so good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind, I could tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine.
Yeah! Okay, Graham, will you please sing the words of The Gas Man Cometh by Flanders and Swann to the tune of Elvis's The Wonder of You?
Was on a Monday morning. The gas man came to call. The gas tap wouldn't turn. I wasn't getting gas at all. He tore out all the skirting boards to try and find the main, and I had to call a carpenter to put them back again. Twas on a Tuesday morning the carpenter came round. He hammered and he chiseled, and he said, look what I found. Your joists are full of dry rot, but I'll put it all to rights. he nailed right through a cable. And out went all the lights.
Finally, Barry, will you please sing the words of Windmill in Old Amsterdam to the tune of Land of Hope and Glory?
A mouse lived in a windmill in Old Amsterdam. A windmill with a mouse in. He sang every morning, how lucky I am, living in a windmill, in old Amsterdam. I saw a mouse where
Okay, it's time we moved on. I've noticed that word games are all the rage these days, so I thought what a great idea it would be to play one on I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Or, as it's known to lovers of anagrams, Oily Nuns Have Cats In with two E's and an R left over. And how true that is. Perhaps the most ingenious of these games is Richard Whiteley's marvellous countdown show. As I tuned in the other day, the thought suddenly occurred to me that there ought to be a board game version of this with letters on small plastic tiles to be arranged to form words that score points based on difficulty and length. But what to call such a game? Well, the teams put their heads together and came up with a specially made up original title to suit such a word game. So let's get on with the game of Cluedopoly and Ladders. Or Scrabble, as it's sometimes known. Graham, we'll start with you. Can you make a word?
I've got to pick up some letters.
Yeah.
Shall we pick up? 32, isn't it? You're allowed. there's only one word on the board. It. Oh, I've got an S.
Hits, plural.
Oh, or I could make that too, yes. Hits. There we go. Pick up some more letters now.
Pick up some more.
Right, I've got Mau Mau, so I get a double word score, don't I?
Yes. I've got A-W-O-R-D. Is that a word?
We'll allow that one, I think.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, blank, 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 blank.
Tell us
blank,
what the dirty words are.
Blank. That's the Tory manifesto.
Let's get in the bag here. Somebody put down laugh. I'll turn that into slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Got a triple in there.
I've got a piece of lead piping.
I thought you were just pleased to see me.
Okay, the teams are now going to play the game that takes its name from Cheddar Gorge, just one of many food-related place names with interesting stories. Not far from here is Spaghetti Junction, so-called because in winter months, the council employs men to throw on a powder that makes the whole place smell of dried catsick. And then... And then there's the Greek city of Marathon, which once lent its name to a popular chocolate bar, before the town reverted to its original ancient Macedonian name of Snickersopolis. As everyone will have guessed, the object of Cheddar Gorge is for each player to utter a single word in turn to form a sentence, but without ever completing that sentence. If I judge that a full stop has been reached, you'll hear this. This week's subject is... a weather forecast. And will you start, please, Tim?
Tomorrow?
There.
Well?
Be
a
warm.
Scattered.
And
yet
even.
Tempered.
Sort of a
hurricane.
Coming in
from
Hales Owen.
In
the
way
of
a
warm
yet
windy
hurricane.
Yet
also
George.
And
George. Mildred.
But Sarah.
What?
You remember Mildred at Sarah?
It's Sarah.
My first wife.
Dogger.
Dot.
Rising.
Slash.
Later.
Which is
the
blustery
and
yet
the
pert
and strangely
perennial
conundrum
which we
find
in
Richard
of
slash
later.
Although
some
of
my
relations
have
been
snowed. Is that some druggy reference?
Under
which
the
cleaners
have
found
the
snowplow.
Which
mercy hump, mercy
places.
I'd like to bring this game to an end, but my horn has atrophied. It's time now for a round of chat-up lines. It's becoming ever more difficult for singles to find love these days, and many look to unlikely places in the hope of meeting a partner. All-night supermarkets have recently become a popular haunt for desperate, lonely types, particularly between household cleansers and refuse sacks in aisle 12 of Aylesbury Tesco's between midnight and 2:30 on Fridays. Or so I'm told. Thanks for the tip, Tim. Spotting a potential partner in a store is all very well, but there's still the question of a suitable opening line. Graham tells us he's often propositioned with the gambit, "I didn't recognize you in color." While Barry makes many new friends following the line, "Come with us while we have a look in your bag." Politicians are especially troubled in this area, team, so I'd like you please to suggest chat-up lines that might suit MPs, parliamentarians, and the like. Jeremy, you start.
Would the Right Honourable Lady agree?
Haven't I seen you round the Commons? Which Common was it?
My name's Robin Cook. Where are you going?
I'm Black Rod, and I've got the keys to the whip's office.
I have an opening for a researcher.
I suppose losing my deposit's out of the question.
How would you like to spend an evening with a standing member?
Very suggestive.
Mind if I poll you?
Oh,
Would you like to come out with me, Minister?
Eyes to the right, nose to the left. What a pretty face.
It's a joint like this doing in a sun like yours.
Get your ermine, you've pulled.
It's high time we played Radio Through the Keyhole. Despite what might be inferred from the name, this doesn't involve shoving a wireless set through a small hole. Although anyone who's met the controller of Radio 4 recently must have been sorely tempted. This is in fact a cunningly adapted version of the hit TV show where Lloyd Grossman roots around someone's house giving clues while a panel of experts make wild guesses as to what language he's using. Obviously, the radio version can't have cameras snooping around people's homes, so instead, I've had two cubicles mocked up exactly to replicate celebrity houses. And I can promise you, teams, absolutely no expense has been spent. Tim and Jeremy, I'd like you to be the first to visit the cubicle. And while you make your way there, the name of your mystery celebrity will be transmitted to the audience via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Jeffrey Archer. Jeffrey Archer.
Okay, Tim and Jeremy, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Hong.
Start your description now, please.
Well, the first thing that strikes is this Oxford University scarf with the price tag still on. Clearly unworn. Also on the side here, interesting, a platform ticket.
Really? Oh, and look, it's in a brown envelope.
Totally styleless.
Oh, what's this here? Spot remover.
Apply to back only. Certainly a fascinating book collection.
Lots of books.
Tracing paper inside some of them, rather strange.
Okay, Barry and Graham, stop.
Well, a wealth of clues there. It's
Radio 4 springs to mind. Radio 4 soap.
Yes, a rural epic.
Ambridge. Are we getting warm? Not Ambridge, no.
I think so, not the Archers.
Frigid. Not the Archers, no.
Ah, maybe one of the Archers.
Maybe one.
Oh, not Shula. Is it Lord Archer?
Yes. In a manner of speaking. Yes, yeah. Correct. Right, your turn, Graham and Barry. Would you please enter your cubicle now? And the identity of your mystery celebrity is now being broadcast on the laser display. And here again. Here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Jeffrey Boycott. Jeffrey Boycott.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very can. In a very interesting room here. Wait. Yes, Lloyd. It's uncanny, isn't it? It's quite a long room.
It's about 22 yards long,
this room. That's right. Oh, look, a little wax statue of Freddie Truman.
Oh, yeah.
Handy place to keep the pins. And there's a desk here, a lot of paperwork. Well, big pile of P-45. Look at this, Graham.
What?
Panama hat.
Good God.
Very large, isn't it?
It's huge.
Mind yourself, Barry, you could trip over that. Well, whoever it is, they've written a book. Look, first edition, 10,000 copies, and here they all are.
Who would live in a house like this?
We reckon it's Jeffrey Boycott.
No.
Well, it's almost the end of the show, but there's just time to squeeze in a round of Pensioner's Songbook. Samantha is off to help the elderly gentleman who's moving to a home from the flat beneath hers. She was always popping in to make sure everything was okay down below. And as a result, he became a surprisingly firm friend. She says it's a shame she couldn't have known him longer. So while she's away, I'll ask the teams to suggest song titles to suit an audience of pensioners and senior citizens. Graham, will you start, please?
You say tomatoes and I say, eh? Dirt, dirt, dirt. Another one bites the crust.
We're all going on a saga holiday.
Stairlift to heaven.
Hit me with your walking stick.
The hippie hippie replacement.
Wide-eyed and legless with hot chocolate.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Twist and gout.
I heard it through the deaf aid.
I'm putting in my top set.
Popper's got a brand new bag.
You've lost that loving feeling by the Arthritis Brothers.
Hey, you're adorable. Hey. Baby, will you light the fire?
I'm staying alive.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as the red, red robin of time goes bob, bob, bobbing under the snowplow of destiny. And the sage and onion stuffing mixture of fate is rammed up the eternally unfrozen turkey of damnation. I notice it's time to go. So from the teams, Samantha and myself, and the fine folk of Birmingham, it's goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.